Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Coleman.
Hey, 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 it's Monty. Welcome to the Rockcast. So glad you could join me. I've got a lot to talk about today. And if I seem to get distracted at certain points, it may be because I've got the Major League Baseball playoffs playing in the background.
Playoffs?
Yeah, that's right.
Playoffs? You kidding me?
Yep.
Playoffs?
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of baseball during the regular season, but when it gets to this time of year with the playoffs and World Series, I start watching. I still do watch the Kansas City Royals because they're my favorite team, but obviously they did not make the playoffs this year, nor did the Colorado Rockies because they're the worst team in baseball. And unfortunately, when you're the worst team in baseball, there's no way for you to get any better. Because unlike in pro football, when you have the most losses in a season, you get the first pick in the draft. But in Major League Baseball, they say, no, you're not getting that, nor are you going to get any of the best free agents. Because they're all going to the Dodgers and the Yankees. So why do I even bother watching baseball? I don't know. But I'll get to some of the other stuff I've been watching later. But right now, let's kick things off with some listener emails. And I've got one here from Rockcast Hall of Famer Jimmy G in Chicago.
Jimmy G.
Yes, Jimmy G has been writing me for years, and he always has the best questions, and I always look forward to them. And this time, Jimmy's first question is, hey, Monty, how's it going? Oh, well, I was not expecting that, but thanks for asking, Jimmy. And, well, things are going pretty well. Several things are happening. As I told you on one of the last episodes, I had a couple of kidney stones removed. And after that, I just said, you know, I got to change some things, one of which is my diet. And Alex has really helped me with this. She got rid of a lot of the crap that I used to eat. And she started cooking me some low-sodium meals. And we started walking every day. And I stopped drinking soda and eating a lot of cookies and stuff like that. And lo and behold, I checked the scales yesterday and weighed myself. And I've lost 14 pounds.
Whoa.
And of course, that's good for your health and everything. But one of the main reasons I'm trying to do this is I fully plan on doing some shows with Galactic Cowboys in the future. I miss playing and I miss being on stage. And I'm so excited to do that again that I'm actually having dreams about it. But my dreams are always the same. Like, no joke, I had one last night. And in this dream, I'm sitting there and we're waiting to go on stage and I start making out the set list. And I'm thinking, well, we can do some new songs, but we better play some stuff off the first couple albums, too. But that's when I think, oh no, I don't remember how to play any of these. And I start freaking out because we haven't played in years, and why didn't we practice? But fortunately, that's when I woke up. And I was very relieved, and I'm pretty sure that before we play another show, we will practice. And I will have to myself, because I'm not one of these guys that never forgets how to play a song. I always have to go back and relearn everything. And I had a guy say to me one time, "Geez, you forgot how to play your own song?" And I said, that'll happen once in a while when you've written more than one. But all that to say that I'm looking forward to playing and I'm looking forward to doing a lot of things. And I know this, that if Alex and I can get moved back to Houston, that everything's going to be a lot easier to do. If we want to practice, if we want to play a show, if we want to make a video or record again, I'll already be there. But we got to get there first, and I realize that that's up to us to figure out how to do that. But if you're a very kind soul and you feel like you'd like to help us, Alex and I would sure appreciate it. And the first way to help is by going to my website, MontyColvinArt.com, and just order yourself a painting or a print. And you will get yourself some cool artwork, and I will take that money and put it into the moving fund. Another way is to use our GoFundMe. We're trying to raise money for the move, and all of the money goes into the savings for it. And I know a lot of you have donated so far, and we appreciate you so much. And some of you have even donated and then traded it for a painting or two, and I am more than happy to do that. And I'm also available for commission work. I've had several of you commission me to do like family portraits and stuff like that, and it all gets us closer to our goal. But if you want to donate, just go to my Facebook page and there should be a link on there, and you can go right to GoFundMe.
I am not capable.
Now, I don't know if Jimmy G is going to donate or buy anything off my website, but he did say, I heard you were moving to Houston, Texas. Did you know it gets really, really hot there in the summertime? Well, actually, I did know that, Jimmy, because I lived there for 11 years back through part of the 80s and most of the 90s. And it's not just that it's hot there, it's also really humid. And you walk outside and it's like somebody threw a blanket over the top of your head. And no, I am not looking forward to that, but at the same time, I think there's always pros and cons to no matter where you live. Like here in Colorado right now, the weather is almost perfect, but in the winter it snows, and I will not miss that. And it rarely, if ever, snows in Houston, and one of the things I will always remember about living there is that one year on Christmas Day, I went out on my patio and I grilled because I think it was like 70 degrees. So I'm kind of looking forward to the mild winters, but I am not looking forward to Houston traffic. But sometimes you just got to take the good with the bad. And finally, Jimmy had one more question, which was, I've heard some of the snippets from the upcoming album. And what I've heard so far reminds me of my favorite GC album, Space in Your Face. So do you agree that the new tunes sound like they could have come off the Space in Your Face album? Well, you're very perceptive, Mr. Jimmy G. And yes, I would agree. And I would even go as far to say that that was kind of my intention. When I started writing for this album, I wanted to return to some of that heavy thrash stuff that we used to do on the first couple albums. But at the same time, I wanted to mix in some progressive elements with some violin and cello and just really take the listener on a journey. Of course, you never know how it's going to turn out, but so far it's turning out exactly like I wanted it to. Everyone in the band contributed to the writing and the production and the mixing, and it's going to have a lot of variety to it, and yet it's going to be very cohesive. It's not going to sound like 12 different songs recorded by 12 different bands. You're just going to go, yep, that's the Galactic Cowboys I remember, and that's why I loved them back in the day. Now, I could play you some new songs that we just got mixed, but not just yet. Be patient, because I'll be playing some of those for you in just a little bit. But first, I've got a couple of more listener emails for you. And the first one is from somebody I haven't heard from in quite a while. Some of you will remember this guy, and his name is Mr. David Whiteman.
The new face of evil.
And David says, hey Monty, ever since my family started a Spotify family plan, I have been using Spotify as my podcast listening platform. Unfortunately, the Rockcast is unavailable there, and I haven't been able to listen regularly for a couple of years now. Up until that point, I had listened to every episode. If it's on Spotify, I can easily listen to it in the car during my commute. And David also sent detailed instructions on how to put a podcast on Spotify. Okay, well, I appreciate that, David, and, you know, I will take that into consideration, and maybe I will put it on Spotify sometime. I mean, after all, I know how much Spotify has done for my music career. I mean, I haven't seen a dime yet, but, you know, if I put a podcast up there, I'm sure the bucks will just start rolling in.
There was a touch of sarcasm.
But on the other hand, maybe it would make things easier for people like yourself. And God knows, David, I would never want you to have to go to my website, montysrockcast.com, where you'd have to go to the extreme trouble of hitting a button that says play episode. I mean, that's just a bridge too far. Granted, my website's totally free and these episodes cost you nothing if you go there, as has been the case for the last 16 years. But like I've always said, I just want to make it good for the people. And if putting it on Spotify is going to make it to where you can listen to every single episode, well then by gosh and by golly, that's what I will try to do.
What a great guy.
All right, I got another email from Norm in Canada. And Norm said he's kind of late to the game because he just listened to the Rockcast for the first time on the last episode. And he said he really enjoyed it. Okay, well, thanks so much, Norm. Glad to have you as a new listener. And, you know, it's really never too late to jump on board. I mean, look at it this way. You only missed 283 episodes. And if you want, you can go to the Rockcast website and maybe listen to some of the older ones. But thanks for your email, and I'm going to answer one of your questions. Norm said he's been a fan since he saw Galactic Cowboys open for Dream Theater back in the 90s, and he was very disappointed when we stopped the band back in 2000. And he said he'd be interested in hearing the story on how it all ended. Okay, well, I know I probably talked about this in the past on an episode or two, but I probably left out some details that I was saving for a book that I was writing. But since I started that book, I'm going to say like 25 years ago, and I still haven't finished it, I'm going to go a little deeper into some of the reasons why it all fell apart back then, and just give you my perspective on things. And before you go, oh great, another story about Galactic Cowboys. This is going to be more than just your typical story about a band breakup. A lot of this is going to be a little more personal, and it's going to involve me telling you about some of my struggles, not just as a musician, but as a human. And it's actually a long story that I will try to condense, and if you hang with me through it, I think you might even find it interesting.
Probably not.
But let me just start out by saying, when Galactic Cowboys kind of walked away and broke it up in 2000, it was not a hasty decision on my part. For me, it was more the result of years of frustration and hurt feelings, and I was just ready to end it and move on to something else. But there was a whole lot of things that kind of led to that. And I'm going to say a lot of it even started back on the first two or three albums. I was writing a lot of the music, a lot of the songs, and I just started feeling like the guys kind of resented that, especially our drummer Alan. And Alan and I always kind of had a weird relationship. We played really well together and we were this great rhythm section, but I never really felt close to him. I never really felt like we were good friends. It just kind of became this working relationship. And after we got dropped by Geffen, I kind of felt like Alan just didn't really like the vision of the band anymore. And he kind of wanted to change our sound. And honestly, I don't really think he liked a lot of the songs that I wrote. And after a while, I started feeling kind of weird, like I was supposed to feel bad for writing so many songs. And it was kind of around the time when we were doing the Horse That Bud Bought album that I just started feeling like all the chemistry and everything that we had had as a band was just falling apart. We did not tour on that album, and the very few shows that we did play, the crowds were almost non-existent. I mean, we were playing little bitty clubs in our hometown of Houston, and no one was showing up. And so I was very discouraged with everything. And even worse, I felt unappreciated, disrespected, and even unliked by the guys in my own band. And so I said to my first wife at the time, why don't we just move to Kansas City? We can buy a house, maybe we can have a kid, we can be closer to our families, and maybe I'll just do a solo album. That way I won't have to feel bad about writing all the songs I want. And so that's what we did, and when it was time to make our fifth album, I would just fly back and forth to do it at the end of the day. But it was also during this time that I bought this little multi-track recorder and started doing demos for what I thought would be a solo album. Well, after that, Alan had quit the band, but we were still under contract to do one more album for Metal Blade. And so I took all those songs that I had demoed, I sent them to Wally, who listened to them, and I said, listen, if you want to use any of these, we can, if not, whatever. And that's the way I felt at that time. I just didn't really care anymore. I didn't feel like we were a band. I just felt like we were three guys writing songs. And I think that's kind of the way it sounded. There were some great songs on there, but it was a long way from being the band that we were when we started. And so Wally and I kind of agreed that it was time to end it. Ben didn't want it to stop, and he was very disappointed. But I just said, I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm done. And that was it. And so that was the breakup. Now, we did get back together about 8 or 9 years later to do some reunion shows. And we reunited with Alan this time to do another album in 2017. Now, what happened in between all that and afterwards? Well, there's too much to cover on a short podcast like this. But I've had years to think about all this stuff and reflect, and here are some of the thoughts and conclusions that I've come to in hindsight. Now, in my defense, I will say that there are many decisions that we will make over the course of our lives, and many times those will be the right decisions, and other times they will be wrong decisions. And I can't just beat myself up for every bad decision I've ever made. On the other hand, wow, I've just made so many bad ones over the last 30 or 40 years. So let's go back and start with my decision to leave Houston in 1997. Was that good or bad? Well, in one way, it was good to be near my parents for the last 10 years of their lives, and so I don't really regret that. For everything else, yeah, total mistake. And this is why I say that. Almost from the minute that I got to Kansas City, it was just a total disaster. And for about the next 23 years, I would say, my life just turned into a hell ride where nothing went right. While there, I met people I wish I had never met, and I did things and made choices that I wish I had never made. And though I did learn a lot, I experienced things like divorces, personal bankruptcy, house foreclosure, and along the way, I just lost all faith in God and religion. And for a long time, I didn't even want to be known as a Christian. Don't call me that. I'd been screwed over too many times by Christian people. And besides that, I'm pretty sure God just hates me. Well, in 2020, I got divorced for a second time. I was living in some friend's basement, and I had about $500 to my name. And I was faced with either killing myself or deciding to change my ways and choose to live. And I decided to start believing again, and that's when things started to turn around. I met a wonderful woman named Alex. I moved to Colorado. I've been a full-time artist for the last 4.5 years. And as you know, I'm now working on a new Galactic Cowboys album with the guys. So the future seems bright. Now, when I look back, was it a good decision to leave Galactic Cowboys and do solo albums? Well, despite all the problems I had making those albums, I am proud of those albums and I'm glad I did them. I learned a lot, and I think I became a better songwriter, a better musician. But honestly, I really do regret breaking up the band or quitting the band or whatever you want to call it to do those albums. I mean, there's part of me that feels like maybe it was good that Galactic took that break in between. I know when we got back together, I appreciated it a lot more. But if I had it to do over again, I would have kept the band together and just done those solo albums on the side. But that's kind of the condensed story as to some of the things that went on back then and why we kind of broke up for a while. But here we are 25 years later, back together, and I think possibly better than ever. But as promised, I've got some new excerpts from some of the new songs for you. And these are some samples from some of the recent mixes. And hopefully these will whet your appetite and hold you over until we get the real thing done. And once again, I will remind you that these songs have not been mastered yet, and they will sound even better when we get that done. But these sound clips should give you a good idea as to what's to come.
Here we go!
Brutal.
Now I am blown away.
absolutely bouncing off the walls with how incredible this is.
That is so crushing.
It's sensational.
Well, I don't know about you, but I am stoked. I just wish you could hear these songs in their entirety, because when you do, it's all going to make sense. And you're just going to be sitting there in a puddle of your own urine because you just peed yourself. And you'll be saying to yourself, oh my God, I've just had my skull crushed with metal and melody. But you're just going to have to wait for that. We've still got a few songs to mix, and then we'll get it mastered, and then we can put it all together and get it out to you.
Whoop-dee-doo!
Now, interestingly enough, I got a question about mastering from Rockcast listener Paul Stenning. And Paul says, can you tell us who is going to do the mastering on the album and what mastering consists of? Okay, yeah, Paul, we're going to use a guy named Bob Boyd. He has mastered previous albums for us, and he's great. And how would I describe mastering? Well, after you get everything mixed, the guy who masters it will take everything and basically just make it sound better and like an album. They do stuff like add compression. And if something needs a little more low end or needs to be brightened, they just sprinkle a little fairy dust on there. And then once he gets everything sounding incredible, then he sequences it. And that's when we tell him what order we want the songs in. Like, we want this song to open the album, and then we want it to go into this one and that one, and then we want to end the whole album with this song. And then he will give us a mastered version of everything, and we will take that and get it manufactured and mass-produced. But yeah, I hope that answers your question, and thanks so much, Paul.
I'm very confused.
All right, let's do some rock news kind of stuff. And I'm sure this is something you've already heard by now. But if for some reason you haven't, let me be the first to tell you that Rush is going on tour.
Whoa!
Oh yes, they just could not do it. They tried to retire, but nope. Apparently Alex and Geddy are getting back together in 2026. But who's gonna play drums, you ask? Well, I had never heard of them, and I can't even pronounce their name, but I guess that she is German.
What?
That's right, they picked a female to play drums in Rush. And I will assume that she's really good. I mean, she'd have to be. But how do I feel about this? Well, honestly, I'm kind of disappointed. I was hoping they'd get Portnoy or maybe Danny Carey from Tool. I thought that would have been cool. But instead, they got somebody that I had never heard of. I mean, maybe she's more well-known than I thought. Apparently, she played with Jeff Beck, so that's kind of nice. And it's not that I don't like female drummers, I'm engaged to one. But I guess in this day and age where everything has to be DEI and diverse, where you can't hire somebody unless they fit into some kind of category, it just makes me wonder. But you know, maybe it'll be cool, I don't know. But hopefully it'll be better than what Linkin Park did when they hired that chick to replace Chester. I mean, just my opinion, I thought that sucked. But I'm sure you Rush nerds are gonna be all about it. And you probably already bought your tickets, even though I think it's like a year away from now. But as for me, I doubt that I will go unless somebody throws me some freebie tickets. And I'll tell you why. because I saw Rush in 1978 on the Farewell to Kings tour. And that's when Alex had really long hair and Geddy was screaming. And that's the Rush that I loved. But this is going to be a little different. And not that you Rush nerds will care, but they've also announced that they're probably going to have an extra couple of people on stage with them. One of which may be a keyboard player. And I guess that's so Geddy can move around a little more. But I can hear the nerdy complaints now. Yeah, it was okay, but I was kind of hoping to see Geddy play bass with his feet. But you know what? Good for Rush. I don't blame him for wanting to get out there again. What are they, in their late 70s or 80s now? And they can still play arenas? Good for them.
So the Maples formed a union and demanded equal rights. The Oaks are just too greedy. We will make them give us life. Now there's no more Oak oppression, for they passed the noble law. And the trees are all kept equal by hatchet, axe, and saw, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, I had a couple of listeners ask me what I thought of the new Megadeth song. And as you probably know by now, they're doing one more album and one more tour, and then they're calling it quits. And the only song they've released so far is called Tipping Point. They did a video for it. It's on YouTube if you want to check it out. And Eric in Orange County and Gary in Baltimore both said they think it kicks ass. So let's see what we think. Okay, a pretty cool rockin' tune, I will have to admit. And I personally like the guitar tone. It's nice and bright and got a lot of clarity to it. And like usual, the drums are just amazing. And I know I'm biased because Dirk is a friend and an incredibly nice guy. But I mean, come on, the guy is a monster. I know a lot of people don't like Dave's voice. It doesn't bother me. I kind of like it, in fact. And a pretty decent chorus. I mean, keep in mind, this is the first time I've heard it. But my first impression is that this is classic Megadeth. Sounds like they're going to go out thrashing, and I like it.
You won't define me. You'll never find me. I'm at my tipping point. Point. You won't define me.
So that's the new Megadeth song, and if you like that, I think you'll like this next stuff. It's a band called Vimic, V-I-M-I-C. And the story on these guys is this was a project started by former Slipknot drummer Joey Jordison. And they released a few songs like back in 2016, and I thought they were really good, but the album never came out. And then, of course, Joey died, and so I didn't think the album would probably ever come out. But then, to my surprise this week, here it is. The entire Vimic album with 15 songs on it. Let's check some of it out. Okay, I must warn some of you lightweights that this album has some really heavy stuff on it, but as you can also hear, it's got some great melodies. And so if you can take a punch, there's some great stuff on here. So I read up on this a little bit, and I won't go into all the details of what I found out, but if you're interested, just Google Vimic. Apparently they did a Kickstarter campaign just like we did, and this is for their fans who have been waiting all these years. And as far as I'm concerned, it was worth the wait. The singer's name is Kalen Chase. I don't know who he is, but he did a great job. I like the majority of the tunes on here, and I'm gonna give it 4 out of 5 bloody metal skulls.
Yeah.
All right, before I go on, I wanted to say thank you to some of you who wrote me and said you agreed with some of my political views. On the last episode, I talked about Charlie Kirk and that tragedy, and I just said what I thought was the obvious, is that the world is kind of turning to shit. And trust me, I have some very strong opinions about the media, about politicians, about Hollywood celebrities. But I'm really not sure how much I'm going to continue ranting about that stuff on here in the future. Because if you think like Richard Gere or Rosie O'Donnell, and you believe that Trump is a fascist and he's going to put all the gays in prison camps, and he's going to refuse to leave office, well, then you've been brainwashed and you're delusional. And nothing I ever say will change your mind. So I'm going to stop wasting my breath and I'll just do my fun little podcast here. And you can just believe whatever you want to believe. And I'll just try to entertain you and make you happy and just talk about music and what's on TV.
It's about time.
Speaking of which, I suggested to you some political shows on YouTube and the internet on the last episode. And I did so in case you wanted to check out some alternative sources other than the communist news networks. And there was actually a couple that I forgot to mention. And I think that I said that the Adam Carolla podcast on YouTube was my favorite podcast. And then I got a message from Chris Aiken from the Classic Metal Show. And he said, hey, I thought I was your favorite. And I said, you know what? You're right, Chris. I love the Classic Metal Show, and I've been a fan for years. And I never dreamed I'd be friends with Chris and that he would listen to my show. And yes, definitely check out the Classic Metal Show. It's hilarious, and they talk about everything from music to pop culture. And they pull no punches, they say exactly what they think, and don't care what anybody thinks about it. And you can find all their episodes on their website, or on YouTube, or on Rumble. It's a great show, and Chris has even had me on there a couple of times.
Why? For what?
Another show I started watching recently on YouTube is Tim Pool. It's called Timcast. He's this young guy that wears a stocking hat, and he talks mainly about politics. He's got some great opinions, some good food for thought, and he usually has a panel of people on there to discuss everything. And every once in a while, he'll even have the singer from All That Remains on there, Phil LaBonte. Which I think is cool because you don't see that many musicians or rock stars that are conservative or libertarian. So there's another suggestion. Check out Timcast. Now, another stuff that I've been watching that has nothing to do with politics. I watched this movie called The Luckiest Man in America. And it was based on a true story about this guy who went on a game show called Press Your Luck back in the 80s. And apparently he would sit at home and watch this show every day. And he eventually figured out a way to beat the game by figuring out what patterns were on the game board. And he eventually got on the show himself and they could not stop him from winning. And the movie's a little weird, but I actually kind of liked it. It's got that Walton Goggins guy, and who doesn't like him? He's great in everything he's on. And so if you get bored and there's nothing else on, you might want to check that out. The Luckiest Man in America.
I'm not interested!
Another show I started watching at bedtime is The Office. And you're probably saying, The Office? That was years ago. You're just now watching it? Yeah, that's right. I'd seen a couple episodes in the past, but I never really started watching it until recently. And that show is seriously funny. It is a guaranteed laugh every single night. I get in bed, I watch an episode, it puts me in a good mood and relaxes me, and then I fall right to sleep. And here's an example. The other night I watched Monday Night Football. And my Kansas City Chiefs lost another heartbreaking game right at the end. And Alex comes home from work and she immediately says, "Wow, you're just in a really bad mood, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm pissed off. That game was excruciating to watch." And this is just the way it is. When you're a hardcore fan of your favorite team and they lose, you take it hard, it bothers you, and you might not even sleep that night. And that's the way I am when it comes to the Chiefs. But I didn't want to take it out on Alex, and I didn't want to be a dick. So I just got in bed, I put on an episode of The Office, and before you know it, I was laughing. And so if you're like me and you get upset over something meaningless like a football game, you might try watching something funny like The Office. Take your mind off of it and remind yourself it's just a game. Don't make it so hard.
That's what she said.
And the last thing I wanted to tell you about that I've been watching is Corey Feldman. Yeah, you remember him as the child actor from Goonies. But Corey doesn't want to talk about that anymore because now he's a rock star. Or so he thinks. And I don't want to be too hard on the guy. I mean, I guess he's trying. And I'd actually feel sorry for him if he wasn't such a delusional tool. But he's so arrogant about it that he actually deserves any abuse that he gets. And oh, the abuse he does get. Because there's not just one, but several podcasts on YouTube. And they are completely devoted to making fun of Corey Feldman. And the best one I've seen is called Jim and Them. And these three guys will just sit there and watch clips of Corey making a fool out of himself. And they will comment on it, and it is just really funny and enjoyable. But really all you gotta do is go to YouTube and search for Corey Feldman. And you will find live videos of him berating his band on stage. Or him trying to play a guitar solo and being completely awful at it. Or him doing an interview wearing his sunglasses while telling you what an awesome musician he is. So if you're a musician and you want to feel better about yourself, just look up some Corey Feldman and it is quite a hoot. So I know this is an October episode. And for years now, I always do kind of a Halloween special and I tell scary stories. But the truth is I don't really like Halloween. When I was growing up, my Christian parents told me it was satanic. But really, it was just never a big deal to me and I never really did anything in October. But then I got into this relationship for a while with somebody who was obsessed with Halloween. And I'd have to put up decorations and go trick-or-treating. And after a while, I just got tired of it. Well, now I'm with somebody that doesn't care about Halloween either. But the other day, I told Alex, you know, I don't think I'm going to do a scary story on this year's episode. But to my surprise, she was like, "Oh no, you got to. Those are great." And so I thought about it and I went, "All right, I'll do it." And so here you go, it's an annual tradition, but like I always warn you, these stories are not for the weak of heart, and this year's is no different. And what makes this year's story especially terrifying is this story is true. It's based 100% on actual events, and I did not change the names to protect the stupid. So here we go. It was a day like any other day. For female tennis star Serena Williams, that is. You see, Miss Williams was walking down the hallway of a luxury hotel, dressed in an outfit that probably cost more than you and I make in a year, when she would come upon something that was so disturbing that it would make the national news. What was this horrifying thing, you ask? Well, for some unexplained reason, sitting on a table in the hallway of this hotel was a plant decoration in a vase that appeared to be made of cotton. Miss Williams was immediately filled with emotions. First confusion, then fear, then anger. At this point, Serena had no other choice. She reached inside of her $1,000 handbag and pulled out her phone and quickly started making a video for TikTok. But the emotional damage had already been done. Even though this artificial plant decoration had been made out of cotton balls, much like the kind you would find in Serena's own bathroom to remove her fingernail polish, this was obviously the work of someone evil. Miss Williams could only come to one conclusion: that this sick form of interior decorating could have only come from the twisted mind and hands of a
racist!
Deeply traumatized by this vicious act of insensitivity, it was obvious that Serena Williams would suffer from the effects and the wounds and scars for many years to come. And who could blame her? She obviously has been punished and held back her entire life from the atrocities of slavery. Why else at a young age would she have been forced to play tennis for a living?
Oh my God!
And held back from making millions of dollars until she was a teenager.
Please let this nightmare stop!
Legend has it that Miss Williams was able to escape the hotel that day, and her video on TikTok went viral. However, some say she will never be the same, because, my friends, on that day, she saw cotton balls. All right, before I go, I wanted to thank everyone who has donated to Alex and I's GoFundMe. You guys are so awesome. And thanks also to everyone who has ordered paintings, prints, refrigerator magnets, and CDs off my website. Once again, it's MontyColvinArt.com. I recently put up some new paintings of Billy Gibbons, Phil Lynott, Zach Wilde, and even Prince. And I also have the original cover and artwork from the Long Way Back to the Moon album. Plus, there's stuff on my website that's as low as 20 bucks. Or if you want to commission me to do something, let's talk.
I can do that. I can do it today.
All right, so this has turned out to be technically my Halloween special. So I'm going to end the show with a song by a really scary band. And of course, I could only be talking about legendary thrash band Slayer. The song is called War Ensemble, and it's the perfect way to end this scary episode. Oh, did I mention this is a cover tune? Yeah, it is.
Propaganda, death ensemble, burial to be. Corpses rotting through the night in blood-laced misery. Scorched earth, the policy, the reason for the siege. The pendulum, it shaves the blade, the strafing air blood rage. Support the war. War support. Final swing is not a drill. It's how many people I can kill.
All right. right, that's going to do it for me for now. I'll be back soon with more fun and mayhem. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like unless it's me. And
rock on.
The sport is war, total war. When victory's a massacre, the final swinging is not a drill. It's how many people I can kill.
That's it.